You finished ahead and we have about 3.5 minutes. If there are any questions from the audience, would you be willing to?
Yeah, I'm happy to take a few questions. We've got over 3 minutes left, so if there's anything burning now, yeah.
Is there any information about how much these are going to cost?
Absolutely not. I mean, as I say, I have nothing to do with the company. To make these drugs is a fraction of the cost of making erythropoietin, where you need recombinant DNA technology, you need cells, you need very purified conditions. This is the same as making ramipril or lisinopril ACE inhibitors. It's the same kind of technology, and therefore they're very cheap to make. That does not mean that the companies will put them on the market cheap, of course, but it does mean that when the patent runs out, they will probably be a very cheap form of therapy. Obviously, the companies have to get the money back from their clinical development program, but we don't know the cost.
John, can you explain why they work in inflammation if their mechanism of working is to increase EPO levels? It makes no sense to me.
It's a very, very good question, and thank you for raising it, because it allows me to give you another bit of learning information. The reason is very clear. I think that we've always assumed that renal anemia is purely due to erythropoietin deficiency. So it's a hormone-deficient state. We give erythropoietin, we replace the hormone, and then we're all hunky-dory. It's very clear that the levels of EPO that we need to stimulate erythropoiesis are much higher than you and I need to keep our red cell production going. And that is because of inflammation. So we recognize that all CKD, and particularly patients in dialysis, are inflamed. It might be the CRP is not the best marker of this. Even IL-6 has limitations. I think it's very clear that there's an inflammatory component to the anemia of chronic kidney disease. And that is where hepcidin plays a part. So hepcidin is upregulated by interleukin-6 and will shut away iron and make it unavailable to the bone marrow. And so many of these patients have a functional iron deficiency. So by reducing hepcidin levels, that is the reason why we feel that patients that are inflamed will still respond just as well, because it's a more coordinated response to erythropoiesis than just stimulating the erythropoietin receptor. So that's the explanation why patients that are inflamed will respond. And that is, again, a very nice, exciting development, that EPO resistance might become a thing of the past due to inflammation.
Oh, just a question about, do you know why the people in the Himalayas, like the savages from the Himalayas, have normal hemoglobins, and the ones who live in Bolivia, they have hemoglobins between 19 and 20 grams of hemoglobin?
And what's the Sorry?
The people in the Himalayas, they have normal hemoglobins even when they live in high altitudes. But the people in Bolivia who live in high altitudes, yes, they have 19 or 20 grams of hemoglobin. Do you have an explanation for that? The HIFF has something to do with this.
People living at high altitude will be upregulating HIF by just hypoxia. So hypoxia will turn on HIF as a...
That I know. But quite the reason is the people in the Himalayas live at very high altitudes and they have normal hemoglobins.
Normal hemoglobins.
14 grams. So, and the people in Bolivia, they have a large amount of hemoglobin. How do you explain that?
So if I understand your question...
They are hypoxic. Both of them are hypoxic. Okay.
So I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but if you're at high altitude on dialysis, many patients do not require erythropoietin at all.
But they are not in hemodialysis. They are just the people who live in the Himalayas. They have normal hemoglobins, and the people in Bolivia, they have large amounts of hemoglobin. That, and nobody knows what the explanation is for that. So I wonder if HIF is the difference between these two groups, or is a genetic problem?
Are you suggesting comparing the general population in Bolivia with the dialysis population?
No.
Just the dialysis population. Do you understand what you're saying? I'm really sorry. I don't fully understand the question. Is someone able to?
The question is very simple. The people
I'm too simple to understand it. Yeah.
They have normal hemoglobins, and the people in Bolivia, they have large hemoglobins.
What do you mean? Sorry, large, large hemoglobins? I don't understand the word large hemoglobins.
High hemoglobins. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you mean they're polycythemic?
Yes.
Can
right.
I? May I make a comment, Ian?
Yeah,
and
of course.
The other ones are not.
Please rescue me. Yeah,
Ian, it's, it's a question of geography. It's not a question of dialysis. It's the Himalayas, not hemodialysis. Gentleman saying that the hemoglobin's normal in the Himalayas as opposed to Bolivia.
In the Himalayas?
In the Himalayas.
Ah, that's, I think you're just not hearing the, okay. So the hemoglobin's normal in the Himalayas?
Yes. That's it. They are not.
Okay. Thank you,
and
Nathan.
They are both hypoxic. That's the reason.
Yeah?
So I don't know if HIF doesn't work there. So
yeah.
Probably.
That's a very good question. I'm not sure I fully understand. I better move on with the interest of time.
Yes.
Nathan, thank you for spelling that out to me. Yeah.
Thanks.